Recently, a North Dakota school board has decided to nix saying the Pledge of Allegiance. It's too religious, they say. It's specifically too, quote-unquote, Judeo-Christian. It doesn't fit with diversity, equity, inclusion. This is just another example of jettisoning this nation's Christian roots. Scott Powell has written a book on our nation's Christian roots. It's called Rediscovering America. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And I should point out that Scott Powell is a writer with the Discovery Institute. So, Scott, welcome back to the program. Thanks again for joining us.
Jerry, it's really a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Okay. So what is your reaction to that story? It's just another day, another example of the secularizing of America.
Yes, but if they're trying to say that this is a Judeo-Christian issue, I'd say it's really not. We're acknowledging God, and all the other religions generally acknowledge God. So I don't quite understand why they're going after it as a Judeo-Christian tradition.
Well, they're saying that this excludes Buddhists. This exclude which would be true because Buddhists are atheists. I mean, that by definition, that's the way Buddhism is. They're saying it would exclude the Hindus because it wouldn't include, you know, their deities. It would not include Muslims because we're not talking about Allah. But here's the bottom line: who founded this country, and to whom, you know, was all this freedom given to other outsiders? But who is the one that founded the country, and for what purposes? I mean, honestly, if you look at the founding of America, you see God and the Christian faith all over the place. And if you don't believe me, read Scott Powell's book, Rediscovering America.
It's so true, Jerry. It's so true. And if they want to strip, you know, God from, you know, they want to stop the Pledge of Allegiance because it makes reference to God, I'd ask, what's next? Are they going to take "In God We Trust" off our money? I mean, there's no ending on this. When you do not believe in absolute truths and absolute values, which we do as Christians, there's no end to their protests, no end to their progressivism. And, you're so right, Jerry. You know, we were blessed by God, and much of our prosperity has come out of our foundation.
Okay, so tell us
and
about...
As we've moved away from God, really, in the 60s and the 70s, we've had far more social problems in our country than we did previously.
That's so true. And I think part of it, you know what it really, when you strip it all down, and this includes oaths and why oaths in courts are so important and why they really do involve God, you know, so help me God and that sort of thing, is the issue of accountability. For example, the founders of America, and even the ones that, let's say, they weren't orthodox in their Christian beliefs, and all of them just about were professing Christians. Okay. They believed that God would hold them accountable. And to a man, I think it would be safe to say that. And I think that's really important, because if you believe that there is a God and one day you will have to stand before him and give an account of your life and of your actions, it totally changes what you do.
You are so right, Jerry. And think about, as we've drifted away from God, in order to bring about compliance, we've had to pass law after law, regulation after regulation, and we still, we still don't have a civil society. When God is part of everyone's life, there's less need for big government. There's less need for ever more laws and regulations, because people generally know that God is looking over their shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great deterrent for bad behavior of all kinds.
Have you ever seen the short video? It's only about 90 seconds. And what it is, it's a Harvard business professor. And he talks about how one of his students was from China, and the Chinese student was telling him how shocked he was, how America was so religious, especially in earlier parts, And the professor, who basically seems to be amenable to faith and so forth, he says, the founders basically set things up in such a way that we would be a moral and religious people, and therefore we wouldn't have to have, you know, the police and the state, you know, monitoring everything we do. The more we move away from that, then the more we do have to have those things. Have you ever seen that video? I'm going to post to it in this link, Scott.
Please do.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. So tell me about the book, Rediscovering America, The Need for Us to Get Back to Our Judeo-Christian Roots.
Well, you know, I wrote this book because of my concern about our country, that we were in such a free fall in terms of our heritage, our connection to our past. And as you point out, the most important part of our heritage is our Christian, our Judeo-Christian roots. But the book is really not like any other book, because it really focuses on the struggles that we face. You know, our country is really now in a fight for its life. And, you know, it's like a hydra-headed war of ideas is being waged by enemies of America to undermine our heritage, divide our people, to really bring an end to life in, you know, our civil life, in our constitutional republic as we and pretty much all generations before have known it. And the book is really written in a way to equip the reader, equip Americans to defeat these enemies of our republic by getting them connected to our great accomplishments and our beliefs and really the arc of redemption that punctuate our history. I mean, yes, America was founded at a time when slavery was found all over the world. The delegates to the Constitutional Convention knew that if they were to form a government, which was desperately needed at that time, they couldn't deal with the slavery issue, although they did put in the Constitution that slave trade would end by 1808. So America is actually on record as being the first nation to make slave trade illegal. That is part of our heritage. And at the same time that the Constitutional Convention was going on, there was the government under the Articles of Confederation was meeting over what to do with the newly acquired Northwest Territories, and they passed a law that outlawed slavery in all these new territories. So we see in the very beginning of our country a moral stance on slavery, and yet the enemies of America would want to take that away from us and claim that we from the beginning had systemic racism through slavery embedded in the DNA of America. It's absolutely false.
Well, what are your thoughts on the 1619 Project, which basically postulates exactly what you just said?
Well, it's bad history. I mean, they don't make any accounting for what I just shared with your audience, that we have two incidents. We outlawed slave trade before any other nation, and in terms of acquisition of new territories, we absolutely outlawed it. In other words, no slavery could go into these territories. Remember, the founders understood that the states really were responsible for a lot of things. There was a balance between federal and state government, with perhaps an erring on the side of empowering the states in many areas, including how they managed their economies. So there was a strong belief, you know, the South was probably culturally more Christian than the North was. And there was a belief that the states would deal with slavery, that it would end. Now, unfortunately, they didn't move fast enough between the founding and the middle of the 19th century when the Civil War began, but all that's history. But the arc of redemption I talk about in Rediscovering America is that even after the Civil War, we had a society that had segregation, discrimination, if you will, and even Plessy versus Ferguson decision in 1893 established that America, people were equal in America, but they were separate. And we know the black laws, the Jim Crow laws, they extended really right into the 20th century. But God raised up another man, Martin Luther King Jr., and he spent 16 years of his life ultimately giving his life that everything, that there could be full equality. And he referred to his work as really collecting on the promissory note of the Declaration of Independence. And he did that. I mean, we had 12 laws passed over the civil rights movement, and our country has less racism in it than almost any other country in the world. And it's really this creation to bring us down from radicals, Marxists, who are using racism to divide our nation through critical race theory.
That is,
and it's a travesty, and we should just call it out for what it is. It is a political strategy to divide and weaken our country.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, the interesting thing is, as a movement, or specifically as an organization, Black Lives Matters, it turns out there was very little accountability with the funding, and they were getting tons of money from corporations, from individuals, thinking they were somehow donating their hard-earned money so that, you know, the lives of black people would be enriched. Well, it turns out that somebody who was black was being enriched, but she was using the money she got, and she was one of the key co-founders of the whole Black Lives Matters movement.
And I think her colleagues also did very well.
Got enriched,
They got enriched in the terms that we're talking millions of dollars.
Yeah, in fact, somebody said that, well, you know, BLM, you know what it stands for? Buy luxurious mansions, which is what they were doing. You know, it's just terrible.
Well, it really is terrible, and there's no accountability for it. And all the corporations that got hoodwinked, you know, they have nothing to say about it. They got hoodwinked. Of course, they're ashamed that they got taken. But what a travesty, you know, to do nothing for the cause that they said that they were for, that they were raising money for.
You know, let me just say this about your book, Rediscovering America. In many ways, what this book does is it gives a backdoor approach to rediscovering America by using the national holidays that we have to kind of appreciate the story of America. So there's chapters in there on Columbus Day, on Memorial Day, on Thanksgiving, on July 4th, even the Constitution Day, which would be technically September 17th. Anything else you want to say about the book in reference to that?
Well, Labor Day is coming up, and a lot of people don't even, you know, Labor Day is probably one of our least understood holidays. But did you know that that the word work, in the American Standard Version of the Bible, work comes up in 414 verses.
No.
And we'll compare that to other Christian terms like grace. Grace comes up in only 135 verses. Hope comes up in only 129 verses.
Huh. But who's counting? No, I'm just kidding. Work, that's interesting about work.
Even faith comes up in 230 verses. Joy comes up in 164 verses. Only heaven comes up in more verses than work. In other words, God, the Bible speaks to the importance of work. In work, we find meaning in our life, we find dignity, we find purpose, and ultimately we push the envelope of creativity through work. And God wanted all of us to be creators just as he was. We are made in his image to be creative. That's accomplished through work. So this vision of a society in which no one would work and sit around, no, it's not consistent with the way God designed us.
Yeah.
So Labor Day is largely misunderstood because it underappreciates this positive, this positivity that should be associated with work. So that's one of the chapters in the book that is full of surprises for readers.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's interesting, too. I was just thinking about when you think about the, you know, like all these homeless people in San Francisco where they each get a small stipend just for being homeless, but it's not enough to make a living. But I was thinking about the Bible verse that says, if a man refuses to work, then neither shall he eat. Woo. If that principle were applied, it would be a very different world. Well, listen, we're basically out of time. I appreciate your time. I want to refer people to your website. It is rediscoveringamerica.net. Scott Powell, thanks so much for joining us, Scott. All the best.
Jerry, it's always a pleasure. Let's do it again soon.